The familiar becomes sinister when Tom Krupp returns home at 6:30 p.m. to find his front door ajar. Inside, life appears suspended in mid-action. A half-sliced tomato on the cutting board, water boiling on the stove, Karen's cooking playlist still playing. Her purse sits on the counter with her phone inside, but her car is mysteriously absent. As minutes stretch into hours without explanation, Tom's concern morphs into full-blown panic. Across town, Officer Sarah Curtin responds to reports of a vehicle driving erratically through an industrial district. The silver Lexus blows through four red lights before crashing at nearly 90 miles per hour. The registration? Karen Krupp of 47 Dogwood Drive. At Mercy Hospital, Tom identifies Karen's blood-spattered white cashmere sweater and the sapphire pendant he gave her for their anniversary. When she regains consciousness 36 hours later, her whispered response sends chills down his spine. "I don't remember anything. Why was I out there?" The situation darkens when three teenagers discover a corpse in an abandoned restaurant just blocks from Karen's crash site, a middle-aged man executed with surgical precision. As Detective Marcus Rasbach begins connecting these seemingly unrelated events, Tom's perception of his perfect marriage starts to crumble. Was his wife ever who he thought she was? Detective Rasbach's suspicions grow when surveillance footage shows Karen's Honda fleeing the murder scene minutes before her accident. Forensics finds pink rubber gloves with gunpowder residue near the crime scene, matching tire tracks from Karen's car. During an unannounced visit, Karen maintains composure despite trembling hands when the gloves are mentioned. Tom's arrival complicates matters. His attempt to support Karen's denial about the gloves lacks conviction, his voice unsteady as he avoids Rasbach's gaze. The couple's dynamic visibly shifts when Rasbach produces crime scene photos showing a middle-aged man with three precise gunshot wounds. Karen examines them with disturbing detachment, her denial seeming rehearsed. Later, Tom confronts Karen about lying regarding the gloves. Her insistence on memory loss sounds hollow, and when she challenges his faith with a question about murder, her tone carries an unfamiliar edge. Can 15 years of trust withstand mounting evidence and increasingly suspicious behavior? While the Krupps' marriage strains under suspicion, neighbor Bridget Cruikshank observes them with unsettling intensity from her Victorian house opposite. She meticulously monitors their movements and visitors as part of her daily routine. When Karen finds an unexplained wine glass on her counter, Bridget arrives with almost eager responsiveness. Though Tom finds nothing else disturbed, the incident creates tension, Karen insisting on her certainty while Tom balances support with growing doubt. Behind Bridget's suburban facade lies obsession. Her spare bedroom has become a surveillance station, documenting the Krupps' lives in disturbing detail. Surrounded by fertility treatment pamphlets and failed IVF records, her fixation stems from jealousy and unfulfilled maternal desires. The situation intensifies when Bridget tells Tom about a well-dressed man near their property on the day of Karen's accident, a man claiming to be Karen's friend from another life. The description matches the dead man in police photographs, leaving Tom questioning Bridget's true motives. Detective Rasbach's investigation reveals a disturbing truth. Karen Fairfield from Wisconsin has virtually no records before New York, just a birth certificate and social security number, indicating a fabricated identity. When Rasbach confronts Tom with, "Your wife is not who she says she is," Tom denies it outwardly while panicking internally. The case breaks open when detectives identify the murder victim as Robert Traynor, a 39-year-old antiques dealer from Las Vegas. Rasbach discovers something shocking. Traynor's supposedly deceased wife, Georgina, resembles Karen. The evidence confirms it. Georgina Traynor is living as Karen Krupp. After Karen's arrest, Rasbach notes her panicked driving was uncharacteristic for someone who typically maintains a low profile. She might have remained undetected if not for the car crash. Tom must now confront his wife's deception. What troubles him most isn't just that she hid her identity, but the evidence of premeditation. She took gloves to the murder scene. Tom's world collapses when he's suspended from his accounting firm pending resolution of Karen's charges. With mounting legal bills and his wife in jail, he spirals into despair and heavy drinking. When Bridget appears in his backyard one evening, Tom reluctantly lets her in. As they drink, she claims she followed Karen the night of the accident and witnessed her enter an abandoned restaurant with a gun. Bridget says she heard 3 gunshots, saw Karen flee wearing pink rubber gloves, then found a man shot dead inside. Strangely, Bridget refuses to tell police because Karen's my friend, then kisses Tom, offering comfort he helplessly accepts in his vulnerable state. The next morning, Tom is horrified at having slept with Bridget, recognizing his vulnerability was exploited. When he cautiously mentions this to Karen, she grows alarmed that Bridget knew details only the police should know, raising questions about Bridget's truthfulness. Detective Jennings tells Rossbach about an anonymous call from a woman who mentioned the gloves, information only police and Krupps should know. Rossbach suspects a witness and seeks a search warrant. When Tom returns from visiting Karen, he finds Bridget in his house with her hair cut like Karen's. He realizes she's delusional as she confesses loving him since he broke up with her for Karen. Bridget admits watching him from across the street, suggesting Karen's arrest was meant to be for them. The next morning, Rossbach arrives with a search warrant. Tom's confidence shatters when officers find a handgun in the garage toolbox, likely the murder weapon. Visiting Karen in jail, Tom confesses his past affair with Bridget and that he recently slept with her again after being blackmailed. Karen realizes this could be their defense. She's being framed by her best friend, who's obsessed with her husband. There's our reasonable doubt, Karen concludes. Despite believing Karen killed Traynor, the detectives face legal barriers. The district attorney explains that Bridget's fingerprints, planted evidence, and obsession create reasonable doubt that outweighs Karen's motive and flight. They reluctantly drop the murder charge. Karen savors her freedom, unconcerned about the minor charges for reckless driving and fake ID. During a New York shopping trip, Karen's fully restored memory reveals the truth. She was never abused. Robert was a money launderer whom she married as part of a scheme. After learning his safe combination, she fabricated a battered wife persona, staged her suicide, and stole over $2 million. When Robert found her, she panicked and shot him. The crash was her only misstep. She's grateful Bridget's obsession created the reasonable doubt that freed her. Meanwhile, Bridget watches from her window, furious that Karen escaped justice. With a sinister smile, she knits a baby sweater, hinting at a new revenge plot. Everything is going to be perfect, she thinks, staring at the house across the street. How well do we know those closest to us? Behind suburban facades, dark secrets lurk. Sometimes right across the street.